Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today, Pastor Kyle invites us all to examine ourselves, to learn about what spiritual gifts we've been given by the Father. Learn how you can be used to add to God's kingdom, then stay tuned at the end for a survey that you can take to assess your own gifts.
Thank you. Please be seated. Back on, John F. Kennedy delivered his inaugural address on January 20th, 1961. And this speech is really famous for his call to action of getting people engaged in public service. And so as part of this, he had this famous line, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your country." And this phrase really, kind of emphasized the importance of civic responsibility and the act of participation in democracy. One of the key things that he really emphasized, the call to action, is he wanted Americans to engage in public service. And he wanted to really highlight the need for collective effort. It wasn't just one person who could do it, but really it was to take the whole community to help combat global issues like tyranny, poverty, disease, and war. And so he issued this call to action for this. And as part of this speech, he had this particular this quote here. "In your hands, my fellow citizens, will rest the final success or failure of our course." So he was saying that it's not just the president who's going to make this happen. It's going to require the efforts of the entire country in order to make this come about. And this is this call to action that that Kennedy put forth here also is quite like an appeal that the Apostle Paul gave to one of his churches that he founded as the church in Corinth. And so we're going to look today at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's going to be from verses 4 to 31. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard, and that's what's going to be up here on the screen as well. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which are deemed less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? And all do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. The word of God for people of God. Thanks be to God. There were at least three letters written by Paul to the Corinthian church. Two have survived. There was one that was written before what we call 1 Corinthians. That one just never survived the ages. So must not have been as important as everything else is. Paul is speaking to members of the church in Corinth because they've become divided and now somewhat dysfunctional. You see, they were praising certain roles of people in the church. Because in that community, in that society, your social standing was based upon the role that you had in various different functions. And so if you had a menial job, that means you were lesser of social standing. And Paul is telling them, that is worldly thinking. Nobody is less or more than anybody else in the church. You know, that's not the way the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be, all the different tasks are equally important, and that's what he's saying here in this passage. It's not all about being an apostle or a teacher or about giving. Each one of the members of that church was vitally important to the health of the entire thing. Like a human body, each part has a critical role to play. And you look at the body's overall function, everything works together perfectly. It's like a perfect symmetry. And it's a message we can learn from today. See, Paul is setting this church back on track and helping them to realize that the diamonds in the rough that are present in the congregation need to be used and need to be discovered and found. During Jesus' last night with his disciples, he gave them a message that by extension applies to us today. He said that we are better together. In John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, he said, I do not ask on behalf of my disciples alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may be one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. You see, we are to be one so that the world may believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of us, each one of you, me, all of us are given gifts by the Holy Spirit. It's a special talent or skill that you have to further God's kingdom. But what are you doing with your talents today? Are you using them? You know, Jesus illustrated the use of talents in a parable related to money. And in this passage, talent is a weight. We're talking about a talent weighs right around 70 or so pounds. And so when you hear this talk about talents, he's talking about a weight. But I'm going to make an analogy that this can also refer to the skills and the gifts that God has provided to us. This is in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version for this part. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to him his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Now, thinking about a talent, they're giving somebody 70 pounds worth of money, of coins. That's probably, you know, millions of dollars worth. Then the man went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward and saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at last my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, in this parable, Jesus is talking about talents. And it's a large sum of money, as I mentioned. And providing employees or servants with these kinds of tasks or charges was very common in this particular society. But today we can draw a parallel to determine how talents are used in our vocabulary. In the Bible, it's talking about a weight, but I'm talking about talents, like skills that we all have. The principles between whether it is money or skills is quite similar. Notice the commands to the servants. It's very simple. Be good and faithful. That was it. Notice success was not a requirement. Never mentioned. Simply to be good, to be faithful. There was room to fail as long as you're being good and faithful with that. And the first servant used the skills that he was provided. And he gained additional skills or talents. He was productive. The second servant did likewise. And although he wasn't given as many skills or talents as the first one, he still used them. And he gained more. In both of these examples, the servant took the skills they were given, actively applied them, and gained even more skills for which they could serve their Lord. they applied their skills in that good and faithful manner. The third servant, however, was another story. He didn't use his skills at all, but hid them away. Instead of being good and faithful with what he had, he did nothing. The attitude of the third servant is also important. He doesn't see his master as gracious. He sees his master as hard and unjust. And then the third servant even blames the master for his own procrastination. He said, "I knew you were a hard man." Well, where in the text did we see that? It's not there. We see that the first two servants, you know, that he rewarded them quite readily. I don't see any harshness there. It looks like that third servant never really had a relationship with his Lord. So casting him out was probably the right thing to do. You know, Judas Iscariot probably never had a true relationship with Jesus either. And so that's why it was reasonable for him to be out. Now, Paul showed us in his letter to the Corinthian church that every member of the church was important. Church is not a spectator sport. It's not just coming in and getting entertained for an hour on Sunday. There's so much more for that. There is a position for each member on this team. The church requires a commitment, just like a team does. People join a team. They don't just show up, you know, and maybe they'll show up on a given team play day or not, but the church requires that commitment. A team member is loyal to the team. He or she helps the other members of the team. You know, not everyone is a quarterback or a wide receiver or a linebacker. But even these important players on a football team need the offensive and defensive linemen in order to carry out their mission. Without the offensive lineman, the quarterback wouldn't have the ability to execute a play that would gain yardage. And without the defensive lineman, that linebacker wouldn't be able to get in and make a play in the backfield and make a tackle. The wide receiver can't tell the offensive lineman, "We don't need you." Just like the offensive lineman cannot tell the kicker, "Just take the day off." Everyone has a vital role to play on the team. And the entire team suffers when a member doesn't use their talents for the mission. And what is the mission of the Bethel Church? Well, our mission is the reaching, teaching, and healing souls as we commit to ushering God's kingdom to our community. Now, Paul talks about spiritual gifts in this particular chapter here, because everybody has got different gifts. He makes that abundantly clear. Not all are apostles, not all are teachers, not all are workers of miracles. He lists a number of different gifts in this passage. To some in the church, God gave particular skills for service and helping. They recognize the practical needs in the body and joyfully give assistance to meeting those needs. And sometimes this happens, in fact, often it happens behind the scenes. Nobody knows what they've done, but you can sure tell when they haven't done it. You know, think about cleaning the church, for example. It's a critical function that oftentimes goes unnoticed. But if we have a guest that comes in and the church is unkempt, it's dirty, they can easily form a bad impression even before they meet the first person here. And there are those who help through acts of mercy. They aid the body by empathizing with hurting members. They keep the body healthy and unified by keeping others aware of the needs within the church. Those with a talent of hospitality make guests and strangers feel at ease. They integrate new members into the body. Those with the gift of evangelism lead others to Christ effectively and enthusiastically. This gift builds up the body by adding new members to its fellowship. Those members blessed with the gift of faith and the service of others encourage others to trust in God in the face of apparently insurmountable odds. There are also the cheerleaders, or those with the gift of exhortation, who encourage members to be involved in and enthusiastic about the work of the Lord. Members with this gift are good counselors, and they motivate others to service. Still others have the gift of knowledge, which is a Spirit-revealed truth, and it often leads to teaching and training and discipleship. It is the God-given ability to learn, know, and explain the precious truths of God's Word. Related to these two gifts is the gift of wisdom, which is the gift that discerns the work of the Holy Spirit in the body and applies His teachings and actions to the needs of the body. And the gift of prophecy, which is proclaiming the Word of God boldly. The gift of leadership aids the body by leading and directing members to accomplish the goals and purposes of the church. Leadership motivates people to work together in unity toward common goals, which is aided by those with the gift of administration, which helps lead the body by steering others to remain on task. See, administration enables the body to organize according to God-given purposes and the long-term goals. And similarly, shepherding is the gift in those who look out for the spiritual welfare of others. Think of the shepherd with the flock, you know, the lambs and the sheep. Although pastors like shepherds do care for members of the church, this gift is not limited simply to the pastor or staff member. In my former church, we set up a care ministry, which allowed each members of the church to stay closely connected, and it allowed the lady to exercise this gift among everybody. The gift of discernment helps those recognize the true intentions of those within or related to the body to care for the flock. Discernment tests the message and actions of others to help protect the well-being of the body. And giving is a skill for those who give freely and joyfully to the work and mission of the body. Cheerfulness and liberality are characteristics of individuals with this gift. And lastly, Paul mentions apostleship. And apostleship is those who plant churches and help grow a church in new areas and carry out the Great Commission and do mission work. Everyone here and watching online have gifts. What are yours? Will you use them? Where are they? Okay. I'm going to hand out today a spiritual gift assessment that I'd like everybody to... I'm giving you homework. You don't often get homework like that from me, but my request to you is that each of you take and fill this out, because even if you've done one in the past, your spiritual gifts will change over the years. You'll get new ones. And if you use them, you get more. And so each one of these are gifts that are important for the church. So take these home and fill them out. And next week, as you heard already from Miss Ann, we're going to be talking about different roles that you might have based upon your spiritual gifts. You may find that there are some things that you like to do. And we are expected to use our gifts for God's kingdom. You see, Peter wrote in his first epistle, and this is in chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another and as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Peter is telling us to use the gifts that God has given us. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, that each one of us will give an account of himself to God. What will Jesus say to you about the gifts, the talents that he's given you? You wicked, lazy servant, I gave you talents, but you didn't use them. Or, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful of a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, please, do not look at these things as a chore. We've all had chores when we're growing up, and those are things that you didn't really want to do. But I'm telling you, when you're doing something that God has called you to do, it's going to bring you tremendous joy. That's how you know that it is from God, and God is behind it. Because you'll find out and you say, yes, this makes me happy. That helps you understand that you're using God's gift there. Now, Kennedy, his call to action, remember, was to engage, urging Americans to become engaged in public service. And the need to a collective effort to combat global issues like tyranny, poverty, disease, and war. I submit to you, like Kennedy, God is also urging us, his people, to engage in service to his church. And he has highlighted the need for collective effort to combat global issues like sin and pain, saving the lost, and advancing his kingdom. And if you recall, Kennedy said, in your hands, my fellow citizens, more than in mine, will rest the final success or failure of our course. Well, I'm going to say to you today, in your hands, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, more than in mine, will rest the final success or failure of our course. It requires the whole congregation. Everybody has a gift. Some of you have more than one. Use your gifts. It's important here as we do this. Let us not hear the rebuke of Jesus, but let us strive to make him happy with what he has given us. You have an opportunity to be the one. My prayer is you will take this assessment seriously, complete it at home, and more importantly, that you will use your gifts. We are all a team, and Jesus is the manager of the team. He wants us all to work together, and somebody's salvation depends on it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, pour out your blessings and gifts on Bethel Church. Help each of us recognize the gifts you have provided us, and let us honor you by using them to your glory. Remove any hesitations that we may have. Help us discern what it is that you would have us do, recognizing that every task is important. From the minor to the major, it doesn't matter. Every member is important to the body of Christ. And we pray that you will use this opportunity to lift us up, give us the joy when we recognize that we are working for you. Amen.
Okay, so I hope you learned something from this teaching about how important each and every one of us is to God and His church. Each of us, big or small, young or old, have been given a gift from God. Our job is to discover what that gift is and then use it. The first step is to go to the mybethel.church website and click on the button close to the bottom where it says Spiritual Gifts Survey. If possible, print it out. Take a few minutes to complete the form, then look at the last page of the survey for opportunities to put your gift to good use in your church. And may God bless you as you serve Him. See you next time.